Blog Talk Radio.
It's on call.
Anything.
Welcome to the Many Mansions Sunday Interfaith Service with Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the clergy of Many Mansions Spiritual Center and the International School of the Prophets Seminary. You can also visit internationalschooloftheprophets.com to join this service via Zoom every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, we join our Sunday interfaith service.
Welcome, everyone, to Many Mansions Sunday service for May 24th, 2023. May you be blessed with all aspects of God Almighty's bounty, including health, wealth, and peace of mind. If any of you have questions during the service, please feel free to use the chat feature. We will be monitoring the chat and do our very best to address your needs. We thank all of you for your continuing support of our ministry.
Beloved Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patience, love is kind. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Is Reverend Michael here? I don't see him. Okay. The prayer for the plan. Your Lord God Almighty, to all the angels, saints, avatars, and divine beings above, I ask for your divine grace to shed benevolent rays of peace upon the planet, Earth, to soften the hearts of those in authority and to influence their minds in a positive way, that those who have authority over the planet and all those who live on the Earth, that their decisions and actions will always be for the greater good of all, and that the planet will be filled with peace, harmony, every day, in every way. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. A prayer of blessings. Dear God Almighty, we pray that each and every one here today be blessed. That all the prayers be answered in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And now a blessing to the congregation. Beloved in Christ, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let us walk in the footsteps of our Savior, Yeshua, loving one another as he has loved us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dear servants of the Most High, we, the congregation of Many Mansions International Spiritual Healing Ministry, bless you in the name of the Lord. May you be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and all long-suffering with joyfulness. May you continue to guide us in truth, love, and righteousness as faithful stewards and of the mysteries of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Now I invite all of you to mute your mics and recite the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Dear God Almighty, we are gathered here today in your name, virtually, but united in spirit. We are reminded of the words spoken by John the Baptist in the Gospel of John. Look, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. We thank you, God Almighty, for sending Yeshua, the ultimate sacrifice, to bring us closer to you and to cleanse us of our wayward ways, that we might find perfection and be wrapped in unconditional love. Open our hearts, O God, to the wisdom and lessons that today's service will bring. May our minds be receptive, our spirits uplifted, and our faith deepen as we reflect on the significance of Yeshua, the Savior, being the Lamb of God. Grant us the grace to understand the immense love behind this divine sacrifice and how it shapes our relationship with you, God Almighty, and with each other. In the name of Yeshua the Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God, we are grateful and we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you very much, Linda. Love your music. We have a great, wonderful sermon going to be given by Jack Bilek. He's very graciously and generously decided and offered to share his wisdom with us. So he has prepared a sermon, and I'm looking forward a great deal to it. Jack Bilek.
Oh, thank you very much, Doug, and thank you, Douglas, and thank God for having me. I'm very grateful to be here today. So I think today what I want to share with you, for those of you on a computer, you'll be able to see this, but for everyone else, I'll be talking through it. So today I want to talk about our upside down world and kind of the way that we view things sometimes are not quite the way that our Heavenly Father wants us to see things. So let's proceed here. Sorry. All right. So first I want to talk about a little bit about how meanings get lost over the ages. You know, we use a lot of sayings in our words and things that we do. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. One is a scapegoat. You know, the definition of a scapegoat from the dictionary is a person who is blamed for the wrongdoings, mistakes, or faults of others, especially for reasons of expediency. So, you know, that gets used in our words sometimes. You might use that, or you might hear someone say that. But the meaning of scapegoat actually comes from the early Hebrews, who would lay their hands on an animal. Usually it was a goat. It could be another animal. And they would put their sins on the animal, and they would release it out into the wilderness and making it put into what they called a scapegoat. So it's interesting. That's how that word's meaning came about. Here's another one about babbling. You know, you may say that, you know, someone's babbling on. Of course, in the dictionary, it says babbling is the action or fact of talking rapidly and continuously in a foolish, excited, or incomprehensible way. But the word babble comes from the time before Abraham, before 1800 BC, and it refers to the Tower of Babel that the ancient Babylonians were building. They were building that to get to heaven. They were trying to get around God, that's really how God confused the people. He confused the language of the people, so it wasn't possible to build the tower. In Genesis 11:7, it says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So that's where the word Babel comes from today. So it's a very old word, you say, you know, before 1800 BC, yet we use it today. And the last one I'm going to use here is what Yeshua said. He said, "I am the bread of life." Now, of course, you know, to us, this has a certain meaning. If you were to just read this, you would say, oh, well, this is, you know, giving us substance to our spiritual life. But to the people back when he said this, it had much more meaning. I mean, bread was something that they ate every day. I mean, this was the sustenance that they lived on. And they had it with every meal they made it, you know, to live on. So by his saying that, it had a much deeper meaning to those people than it does to us today. Of course, I go down to the grocery store, I can pick from 10 different kinds of bread, you know, it's no problem. But for them, that was not the case. So I thought this was a good example of something that's kind of changed. The meaning is still there, but maybe it's slightly different today. So we're going to talk a little bit about this verse and keep those ideas in mind as we talk about this. And this verse comes from John 1:26. And John the Baptist was baptizing people, and Jesus walked down to where he was, and John the Baptist saw Yeshua coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So what comes to your mind when you hear that? I mean, isn't it kind of odd? I mean, why is John calling Yeshua, Jesus, a lamb? I mean, why isn't he calling him, why is he calling him an animal at all? Why doesn't he call him a different kind of an animal? Why doesn't he call him a dove or a lion or a fish? You know, it's interesting. He's calling him a lamb. So I think, you know, like the earlier examples, the meaning of this gets lost a little bit. So we're going to take a little bit closer look at it. So first, what is the lamb? Well, the lamb is figuratively referring to the nature of a lamb. It's gentle, submissive, precious, unblemished, spotless, and defenseless. Yet it can also be like in a ram, a grown animal, a symbol of great strength. So there's a lot of symbolism here. And if we look at other parallel passages in the Bible, we can see where that symbolism comes from that John's using. First of all, Passover lambs were used and sacrificed at Passover. This is in remembrance of the lamb blood that was spread on the door frames of the Hebrews to save them from the destroyer. Now the destroyer came into the households and killed the firstborn of all the people there in Egypt when the Hebrews were leaving, were led out of Egypt by Moses. And lamb is still used even today at Passover. It's also used here as the suffering servant. This is said by Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the great prophets. This was said hundreds of years before Jesus came to live with us. It says, Isaiah said, "Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter." And here he's talking about Jesus sometime in the future. Another place that it's used is lambs were sacrificed daily in the temple. So they were once again used as a sin offering or a way to atone for the sins of the people, and they sacrifice the lamb in the temple. So it seems a little upside down. I mean, why would you be offering a lamb, which is just a little docile animal, to take away the sins of people or of the world? Well, Yeshua died for our sins. Lambs were sacrificed in the same way Yeshua allowed himself to be sacrificed and his blood shed to pay the price for the world's sins and transgressions. So, this is almost incomprehensible. I mean, can we even understand what happened there? The significance of the event can be seen somewhat in the testimony here of Matthew 27:50 at the time of Jesus' death. I'll read it to you here. And Jesus, or Yeshua, cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And the coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Yeshua, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I mean, I don't know. I think this might give us some idea of what happened, but I think it's beyond our comprehension of exactly how a single man could bear the sins of the world. So we want to look towards Jesus or Yeshua to see what traits did he have. Why was his character one that is one that should lead us as we go forward in life here? And what I did is took the attributes. I want to see here. I took the attributes of a lamb and of the opposite of a lamb and see which of these seem most important in our world today. So one choice is assertive, armed, harsh, aristocratic, totally self-sufficient, without need or help. Or gentle and submissive, defenseless, and in constant need of guidance and care from God. I mean, if you look, you probably see some of these aspects in your neighbor or in yourself. I mean, certainly people that are in this world, really, you get driven to be assertive, you know, harsh. You know, you meet people all the time that are like this. That is the opposite. Number one here is the opposite of a lamb. A lamb is number two. Gentle, submissive, defenseless, and constant need of guidance and care. You know, they had shepherds that took care of the sheep to keep them from the wolves. So Jesus was the lamb. And I think that is saying more about the way we need to be. There's a little bit more about this. I was thinking about how we want to lead our lives and the way we want to be. And the Beatitudes that Jesus, Yeshua, talked about on the Sermon on the Mount really lay the groundwork and a good outline for how we should be. And I'm going to go through these. I want you to keep in mind that to be blessed, what does blessed mean? Blessed means to have God's divine favor bestowed upon you. So you can insert that everywhere you see the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Oh, I want to say a little bit more about poor in spirit. Poor in spirit are those that are humble and recognize all their blessings come from God. So it doesn't mean poor, you know, no money. It means, you know, that they are, they honestly confess that they're sinful and maybe they even understand that they don't have the moral virtues that they need. Blessed are those who mourn. That's not necessarily about death. I mean, I think when I heard mourn, the very first thing I thought about was mourning somebody's death. But this is really about someone being repentant for their mistakes or sins. Remember, a sin is just being off the mark or out of harmony with God, what I like to call it. But in this verse, Yeshua promises that those who repent for their sins are going to be comforted when the burden of the sin is lifted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger for thirst and righteousness. This is a good one. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You know, this is a good one. I know they're all good, but particularly like this, you know, rather than make war, make peace. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the last one is, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, on Jesus' account. So these are good ways to act. And how can we be part of the kingdom of heaven on earth? And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about acting correctly so that we can have heaven here on earth, and we can live in a fuller life. So to kind of summarize all this, we can do it by our actions every day. We can change our behavior and follow what the master teacher Yeshua taught us. So go out today and be rich in faith. Mourn your mistakes, be humble, righteous, be merciful and forgiving, be pure at heart, be peacemakers, and stand fast in your beliefs. And in this way, we will all find the kingdom of God here on earth. And thank you very much, Douglas. Doug. That.
Just gracious and loving God Almighty, we are grateful for the words we have heard as we hold in our hearts the profound truth that Yeshua is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world, like the animals that took the sins away of our elder brothers and sisters so long ago in the temple and in the ceremonies. This offers us eternal salvation. We are eternally grateful for this gift, that we are aware of, and that we come to be aware of, that we might be fully realized, that we've had this time to come together to worship, to learn, and to grow in your love. After today, as we go forth into the world, let us be ambassadors of your grace, carrying with us the message that Yeshua, that in Yeshua, sin and death were conquered. Grant us the courage to share this good news with others in our way, humbly, kindly, that they too may come to know the redeeming love of the Lamb of God. As people on a spiritual path, my friends, This is a most important concept to behold. If whatever you have done, you regret, remember, regret wipes out the debt. Continuing, as we ask your blessing upon each and every one of us today, may the peace and the understanding of what we have heard today guard our hearts and minds in Yeshua the Savior, our Lord and Savior, and our eternal Lamb of God. In his holy name we pray. Amen. I have one other prayer I think I'd like to say it now. Recently, my friends, we have come to the conclusion of a long road that has been full of hardship and difficulty. And what we have just heard Brother Jack recount as to those different peoples and how they are poor in spirit and otherwise, how they have been falsely accused, and how they have been guided from above. For those of you who know the story of the Many Mansions Spiritual Center on Hamilton Beach in Canada, that was established in 2010, and the great accusations by the tax man in our country that our organization was not Christian enough, that we should be put asunder, that our organization should be destroyed, our assets seized, and our reputations lost. To some degree, a lot of that happened. But with peace in our hearts, we fought back in the way that our faith dictates. Recently, this week, these 10 years of nightmare and difficulties have seemingly come to an end. A positive end, because you see, there are three things that cannot be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. Many of the members who are with us today, who stayed with us from those times, many of you are on the Zoom right now, as well as the clergy, Deacon Dave, Director Tim, Reverend Douglas, Reverend Rebecca, who's not here today, past president Ann Pilgrims, and other people did not run away. We stayed our course, including past director Alexandra. Forgive me if I've forgotten anyone, but I also have to say that Reverend Michael Irvine worked his fingers to the bone, physical labor, and endured much in the pain. And he deserves a lot of credit because he not only did not run away, he stayed the course and he believed with great faith. Also, our friends Suzanne and Sherwood Maxwell. Sherwood went on to the greater kingdom above in Great Depression. He was a World War II vet. He was well into his late 80s, perhaps early 90s. And unfortunately, what happened to us took its toll upon him, as well as others. So when you hear the words today, We are celebrating this special time of thanksgiving because the truth cannot be hidden. God was with us every step of the way, and Brother Jack's words of wisdom that we might not understand God's way certainly applied to what happened to us. The persecution, the accusations that we weren't Christian enough to have a church or an organization. Absolutely ridiculous. But these were made by wicked beings and sustained by trickery and doublespeak and the will to harm us. Retribution is coming, not by our hand, but by the hand of God Almighty. But in the future times, we are and we have and we will continue to earn the right to be a light, to be an organization that stood up to the strong when they're in the wrong, that through our rite of passage we suffered some to death, some to financial ruin, some to disgrace. But that said, was this not the way of Yeshua? Is this not long-suffering? Was this not a test? And therefore, we offer this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts overflowing with gratitude and joy. For a decade, we have walked through the valley of trials and challenges, facing scrutiny and accusations from the government, the taxman. They questioned our faith, our integrity, and our standing as a Christian community. Yet you, O Lord, stood with us every step of the way. We thank you, God, for being our rock and our fortress, for providing us with the strength to endure and the wisdom to navigate through these difficult times. You shielded us when we were vulnerable, and you spoke truth to power when we were accused. We are profoundly thankful for your divine intervention, Lord. By your grace, not only did we survive these attacks, but we emerged vindicated. Our reputation is yet to be restored, but our faith is unbroken. We prove the accusations against us were false, and we stand here today stronger, wiser, and even more committed to serving you and your people. God, we know that it was not by our might or power, but by your Spirit that we have overcome. May this victory be a testament to your enduring love, your infinite wisdom, and your unyielding justice. As we continue on our journey, let us never forget the challenges we have overcome and the lessons we have learned. May we always remain steadfast in our faith and resolute in our commitment to you. We offer this prayer of boundless gratitude, confident that you hear us, love us, and continue to bless us. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in the name of Yeshua the Savior, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to add also a special thanks to Reverend Doug Bentley, to Director Tim Charbonneau, these two gentlemen stayed the course when it looked the darkest. Their faith and the visitations they had by Christ. Jesus came to Doug and told him he had his back, not to be afraid when it was dark. We were guided from above in real time. This is our testament. This is our rite of passage. This is why the many mentioned spiritual centers around the world will be established, because we believed. Weaker people and minds would have ran away. God plays for keeps. There's more coming, but at least we can sleep at night. We're not looking over our shoulder all the time for Ha Satan to show up. We're grateful to the community that is developing here. 45 or 50 people every week is something. But more importantly, we are grateful to our integrity. God plays for keeps. Whatever the outcome is in the coming years, remember those of you who stayed the course with us. We're on the same path, in the same boat, in the same bus, but God was leading the way. Yeshua was with us all the time. We did have apparitions and appearances of the saints in our temple. And we're going to have that same occurrence again. Deacon Davis had visions of the saints waking up and coming. I think his daughter had that vision as well. Angels have appeared and told us wonderful things. I'm looking at many of you on the screen. I'm not going to say your names because I don't want to embarrass you. But over the years, you've been there. You stayed the course. This is what faith is all about. In Corinthians, it talks about the different spiritual gifts. Wisdom, prophecy, gifts of healing. But the one we always kind of smooth over is the one called the gift of faith. I never really understood it, but I do have some inkling or understanding of it now. And Brother Jack's words today are most apropos at this moment. There are movements in the heavens. The constellations are coming together. There is a comet called the Child moving into the constellation of Virgo. First time ever in recorded history. A heavenly sign that perhaps the Messiah is returning. Are we the way shower? Are we paving the path for people who have not gone to church for whatever reason in the past? Because we provide a church service for those people who can't go. Right here, right now. Those people have had difficult times in their spiritual journey. But you see, my friends, in part, and I've always had this in the back of my mind, that what we're going through, we're earning the right to be who and what we are as a community of spiritual believers. Many of you are developing your intuition. You're having dreams, telepathy's happening. You get that parking spot in a busy shopping lot, you get to the head of the line all by chance. Somebody says something to you and you need that bit of information and they just spoke it to you and walked away. The words that Jack put forward today, Brother Jack put forward today, As he was talking, I was recounting many of the things that happened. Those are powerful words. Most important is you're never alone and never run away. Because whatever comes to you has been sent. Even at the time I wouldn't and couldn't understand it, it was painful when you're falsely accused, an innocent person, by powerful people who are mean and nasty and whatever, whatever. It's hard to deal with, but there has to be a reason or a purpose. That is yet to be disclosed. But as of this week, the nightmare seems to be over. The demons have backed down. We confronted them with evidence in July, and they ran away. You can see I'm smiling. They ran away. There's a little more we have to clean up. We have to do something. We've got to go talk to some other people who know what to do. Doug Bentley stayed the course. Doug Bentley was in the Reverend Bentley was in the crosshairs for a while. He was being intimidated, and he stayed the course. I don't mean to embarrass him. Dave was there with us. Mark is here now with us as a director. And the other directors we keep in touch. God plays for keeps. Listen to the words of Brother Jack today. They are profound because they represent who we are as a community. Like the lamb, we defended ourselves, even though we were defenseless and innocent. How can you take on the government? People thought I was absolutely mad. And I said, well, there was this fellow named David. He took on Goliath. There was this fellow Moses, apparently walked right through the water and it parted when there was no place else to go. And that's what we did. All of us here today, you're part of that community. Be proud of who we are. Because we earned the right. The rite of passage. Life is full of long suffering. The words of Brother Jack today were perfect timing, brother. Perfect. And with that, I'll step down off the pulpit here. But I had to tell you this because it was just a couple of days ago. Thursday or Friday that we got this good news. And with that, I will turn it back to Reverend Doug and say thank you all. I love you from the bottom of my heart. We'll have some music, and then we'll go to the virtual healing, I guess. That's the next step. God bless you.
because of what the Lord has done for us, give
Reverend Douglas to begin the healing portion of the service.
I'm just going to mention a few names here while I was thinking that lovely music. My dear wife Karen suffered through this with me as well. God bless her in heaven above. The center was made in remembrance of my physically mentally challenged daughter Sherry Ann Cottrell, who's in heaven above, bless her as well. As I mentioned, Sherwood is in the heavens above. There were other directors that we should mention their name. I've said some, but Malcolm was there with us all the time. He's not here today, but he stayed the course. He didn't run away. Ann Pilgrims was the president at the time, and she didn't run away. She was in the crosshairs for a while. To be the president of the organization, you get to be in the crosshairs. When you get to be the minister, you're not only in the crosshairs, you got a big target on your back. As I said, Dave, Deacon Dave was with us, and there were many of us that went through some hard times renovating the place and fixing up from the great flood. We did have a Noah's flood that almost destroyed the building, and we survived that. Rebecca did her part in legal challenges. She was the president of many mansions for a while in the crosshairs. Michael Irvine, who I said was there, a devoted man. And the hardship he endured and the times he worked in the place all by himself, restoring and replacing, it's unbelievable. Brother Joe here is here today. He was with us as well, doing his part, helping and staying the course with us. Bernie McMillan is was a guiding light, Reverend Bernie, who also suffered at the hands of the same organization. I'm not saying the name of the organization on purpose, but it was a government and the tax man kind of thing. And I learned a lot from him going through this time. A lot. And Deacon Director Alexandra is here with us today. And I'm not sure, I remember Jennifer was a secretary that was there in the beginning. Barbara Tomczyk was a director along with my wife Karen and Jennifer and Ann Pilgrims. They were the first letters patent directors of the organization. Time goes by quickly. Kevin Cleary was a director and a supporter, and all the physical work he did in the place, electrical stuff, putting in fire escape exit signs and rewiring the building. I'm not going to go into all that stuff, but we had from people at City Hall. Matter of fact, I'm not going to mention their name at City Hall because I don't want to embarrass them, but from the councillor's office on down. The Member of Parliament, Wayne Marsden, to Bob Bertena, to the mayor. I did lectures at City Hall, or open, I had convocation. I opened it up. I shouldn't call a lecture under three different mayors. We were well-liked in the city. We were well-known in the city. Many of us were known on site when we went to City Hall. Along that dark path, there were little gems of light and nuggets of gold, friendship, support, and love. I can't forget, of course, Reverend Douglas's beloved wife, Betty. She put up with us, did she not? Every day, Doug would have her come over there, and she would be so patient, waiting out in the car for Douglas to come out. Occasionally, she was beeping the horn. She was entitled. To all the other people that attended at the healing services, there were many. I can see them in my mind's eye now, but I'm not going to mention their names because they're not here today, but they know who they were. Deacon Dave was there a lot, but so was his wife Carla and her mommy, Dave's mother-in-law. They kept the place looking wonderful. They were doing all the necessary work to keep it tidied up, polished up, and looking wonderful. So we're ever grateful to Carla and her mommy. Some of you here today were there every day. You came to our Thanksgiving dinners, which were the highlight of our year there, when we used to have those big dinners. It was like feast time. It took me a while to catch on that maybe that's what we should do every Sunday, would be have a big meal like a Thanksgiving, and we'd have a lot more people coming out. But I wasn't that swift. It took a while for that to sink in. It was our holy place. There were saints appearing. There were orbs appearing. There was a vibration, a vortex in the middle of that place that people would come and stand on, and they wouldn't know why, but they would feel the energy coming up out of the ground. It was a special place, two bodies of water, the harbor on one side and the lake on the other. And occasionally that place had a vibration that was just enormous. We were sent there. And again, I'm reminiscing, but I want you to understand, no matter what your situation in life, no matter how much you're going through, God plays for keeps. But God never, ever forgets. We do sometimes. Memory, time goes by. We lose contact with friends. We forget the gratitude that has been given to us. But God never forgets. So as we move forward from this time, as we are now going into the road to Campbellford, this preparation time is now leading us to this time where we'll have a healing center, a healing place that will be more powerful than the one in Hamilton with the vortex, which used to come and go. This one in Campbellford will be permanent and eternal. Long after we're all gone, it will continue. Our place in Fort Worth, our temple there, and our hope conferences that have been commissioned and ordained by above will allow us to take the word to all of the world. Remember, the great promise was that before the Messiah returns, the word of God will go to all the world. Can you think of a better medium than this to take the message to all the world? On this service, we've had people in Peru and people in Europe and in Spain and even people in Australia and India here with us. Remember, you're an ambassador. I want you to think of yourself as a cornerstone, all of you. That means we're a little rough around the edges. We don't fit in with all the other bricks. We're strange. We're unusual. We're odd. But the cornerstone is the first stone that gets laid in the ground of the foundation, and the entire temple is built upon that cornerstone. Think of yourself as a cornerstone, because you are. The early Christians were the same as us, stumbling around, trying to find out what the truth was. What did God want us to do? What were we doing? What's this faith about? What's this practical spirituality all about? Brother Jack's words today, it's a daily thing. So I'm going to do an abbreviated virtual healing today. And I want to impact the idea that God is everywhere, not just here on the Zoom when we create this vortex, this virtual energy, but God is everywhere. In all those times in darkness and difficulty and uncertainty, God is with you. When you see beauty around you, God is with you. When you feel peace, God is beside you. For those people who have gone through operations and they've asked us to pray for them, they have reported back that the surgeon has told them the surgery went the best it could possibly go. It was easy. Things went so well. And then I almost dread the next words, which are, boy, that doctor's the best. The doctor is a tool. He's skilled, he's able, or she's able and capable. But the divine, the spirit of God, nobody knows what that is. I'm going to tell you more about it. But the spirit of God is that part. It's like the love that comes upon you when you fall in love with somebody. You don't see it coming. It happens silently, and all of a sudden you're in love. It's the same. You meet somebody and you start talking to them and you say, I think I've known you forever. And you just met them. Well, apparently you have known them forever. Your souls have touched upon one another again. You're never abandoned. And for those people who have donated sums of money, some of you have donated a fair hunk of money every now and then. It helped pay for our last go-round and helped us get out of this muck. And we are so grateful. I contribute a pile of money as well, but that's okay. I could afford it. I have plenty of room on the charge card. So when you send us $100 or $500 or $1,000, it really goes to good use. If you send us $50 or $100, it helps pay the bills. But where we're going from here to the future, I always used to say this because my vision is 10,000 people in one place on one day, and you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, in Reverend Douglas' last vision, we're back on the road again. We actually had a vision where we're on the road. So we're on the road to Camelford. Each and every one of you is important. If you take one brick out of a wall, you don't have a wall. You have something with a big hole in it. It's very, very important that we keep our integrity. And there are many people who have come to our services, who came regularly to our temple in Hamilton. Some have passed on, and some are far away, but they still keep in contact because that connection is forever. So as I'm standing here, I can feel the virtue coming out of my hands. And as usual, by saying your name, we make a connection to the divine. It's important to say your name. That all services in the future, no matter how many people are there, their name should be spoken at the service. It's the key that goes into the lock. The word of God is a vibration. Your name is a vibration. It's who you are. So when I look at somebody on their phone in the 585 area, I'm thinking of that person, although I don't know their name, but their phone number is the same. To Will Santos, who's been a huge supporter and a good friend and a wonderful man, when I see his name, I think of that all the time. To our friend Joe Baggio, who's here helping with the Many Mansions helpline as a counselor, I think of a wonderful time that he and his dear wife Sharon, one of those people who came to the center always and is now in the heavens above, she was always there. To William. To Alexandra Woj, who was a director of Many Mansions, and he was there occasionally because this is a long way to go. To John M., to whoever MOI is, to Rebecca S., to JP, to somebody on an iPhone, to Regine, to KB, to Jesus, the GLS-8, to Jean, and to Karen M., whoever the Zoom user is, to Beto, to John Douglas, to Mark Galloway, to Jack Bajak, Bailick, excuse me, to Carol, to Joan and Owen, to Larry, Angie, and the little baby Elsie, who's paying strict attention while she's sleeping, to Bettina, to Mark, to Tim Charbonneau, to Sandy Bailick, to Joy, to Gaitan. To Robert and Janet, to Carrie, to Beverly, to Patty, to Maria, to Paul Hughes, Santiago, Jim and Sherry, to Jamie, to Sue, to Reverend Douglas Bentley, to Deacon Dave and Carla, to their daughter and Carla's mommy, to Linda, to myself, and to all those who are not here on the Zoom today. Reverend Bernie McMillan, to Donnie Young, who apparently was in a terrible accident, a good supporter, originally helped with answering the phone here, to our friends and our family, and to all those that are under the envelope of our Many Mansions International Spiritual Healing Community and Ministry. In the name of God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, we are grateful for our lives. We are grateful for this lifetime to experience this time in the world. It is a most important time. It is a teaching and testing time. Let the evil and the sins out of us and into the Lamb of God, that they might be put asunder, that we might be forgiven of our errors. For this is the great mission of Yeshua the Savior. Never before in the history of the world was there such an individual who was willing to take the sins of the world, whatever that means, and to put them asunder, allowing us to continue, that we have a way out, that we can repent, that we can recognize the errors of our ways, that we can bring the love of God forward, that we can continue even when we've done bad things. We can forgive ourselves and continue on in our life. It gives us a way out. This divine being, this Messiah, allows us to be in the Masonic, in the Messiah way, to be able to be forgiven completely for the things that we're not proud of, for the mistakes and the difficulties we've caused, for those times when we've been dark and mean and nasty, indifferent and prejudiced, that we have this marvelous example that can correct our ways, that can put us back on the path, that we might continue down the path towards the light, the illumination, the warmth of God Almighty. This is the great promise of Yeshua, the Savior. This was the great mission. And the great prophets of old predicted his coming. They prophesied his coming. John the Baptist paved the way for his cousin Jesus and then recognized him one day as being the Lamb of God. Take into your hearts now the great promises made such time ago. They are as valid as they were given that day as they are today. It is your mission to be happy and joyful and content and prosperous. Peace is what you need. Peace is what you seek. Peace allows you to forgive yesterday and to hope for tomorrow. Take this energy as it comes through the computer now. Cup your hands like you're having a big bowl of salad and pull it into your chest and feel the warmth that immediately starts to go through your body. Feel the love that God sends. Feel the peace. Listen to the music and absorb this wonderful healing energy. This virtue knows where to go, what to do, even before you ask. Thank you very much, Linda. Patty, do we have any emergency, urgent emails from people?
There are a few here today. The first, for John, for relief from bladder and prostate issues.
Continue. Next.
For Kath Ann, relief from lupus.
Continue.
For Mary, relief from problems with her ankle.
Continue.
For Tim, for ongoing recovery from surgery.
Continue.
The final request is for Frida, relief from Lyme disease.
I will add to this for Reverend Bernie McMillan, that the virtue, energy, assist him to return his vision, to cleanse the eyes easily and comfortably, that his vision returns. And also to Donna Young, who was on the committee for many mansions. We ask that there be an acceleration of all the broken bones, the bruising and the scars that have occurred on her body, and that the healing is accelerated. Also for the continued benefit or virtue going to Ellen Hassan as she overcomes any disease in her body easily and comfortably.
There was one last request.
Continue.
For Katie, relief from issues with the eyes, ears, and cysts.
In the name of Yeshua, the Savior, our elder brother, our way shower, our light and comforter. We are grateful for all the blessings we have received and will receive, for the life that we have experienced that benefits our soul. We are grateful to the community that has found each of them in their own way to our community now, that they are ambassadors, they are examples, and the integrity of our community will only grow through their support, their prayers, and they're participating in the teachings as we progress in our understanding of practical spirituality and the duty to develop yourself spiritually. And through that development, you will experience and exemplify the intuitive abilities or gifts that are recounted in Corinthians. And that in your daily life, you will notice that people like to be around you. They like to feel your energy, that your life will be more pleasant and more peaceful. Yeshua always wished people, may peace be with you. And that is the greatest indicator that you're living in harmony with whatever is going on in your life and the world. Enthusiasm will lift up your energy. I'm talking about the biological energy, the healing energy, and that virtue, that life force will keep you young, keep you interested in life. And people will be interested in you. And God will be there with you. Remember, God doesn't forget us. We forget God. We need a little nudge every now and then, and that's why we go through difficulties. And that's how you end up being grateful for peace. Together, we are strong. The more we are, the stronger we are. We have about 50 people here each and every time, and that's only going to grow to from 50 to 500 to 5,000 to 50,000. As people begin to see what we stand for, and we stand for the instructions of Jesus, who told his 12 disciples and then the 70 disciples to go out to the tabernacles, to the temples, into the world. And when you see the sick, heal them. So this week, I want you to be a sneaky healer. If you're sitting on the bus or you're sitting in an office, I want you to put your hands like this in front of you, as if nothing's happening, like you're reading a book. And the person across from you or beside you or in the room that needs some energy, I want you to, without saying a word, mentally bless the person and feel the tingling sensation in your hands. Be a sneaky healer this week. You don't need to ask their permission to wish them well. You don't need their permission to ask God to intervene. If they're in front of you, somehow there's already been that spiritual connection. And that's why they're there. See what happens. The more you use this, the virtue, the stronger it gets. It's like being a weightlifter. You keep lifting those weights, you get muscles. You keep sending a virtue out, you get spiritual muscles. I'll tell you this story, where this comes from. On the street in Toronto, at the corner store, there was a corner store. They were a Greek family. They liked my youngest son, Jason. Jason could go into that store, and the man would give him anything he wanted. And of course, one day, the man said to Jason, "What would you like? You can have anything." And Jason pointed up over his head to the extreme top shelf, and he wanted something on a little package. The owner stepped up on his chair, stepped up on the counter, stepped up on his shelf, and with great effort reached up and got the trinket, brought it back down. Of course, he strained his back. And I was having a discussion with him about that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, my God, are you crazy? All the way up there, that's like 12 feet up in the air. You could have hurt yourself. He then told me that his daughter was at the hospital. And I had seen his children. They had played with my son, Jason, who was kindergarten age. So I went to the hospital, down to Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto, all on my own. And I went and I visited the little girl. She was laying in the bed. Her tummy was swollen out. And she was scheduled for exploratory surgery the next day, which means exploratory, they don't know what, but they're going to open this little girl up. So I laid hands on her tummy. As I was talking to her, she didn't know what was going on. I asked permission. I said, do you mind if I just rub your tummy, make you feel better? Sure. She was under a blanket. She had a nightie on, and I put my hands on her tummy. Her tummy went from this to flat. I left. Next day, the little girl was home. And I went over and I said, I see your daughter's home. She was supposed to be in the hospital. What happened? And they said, strangest thing. The doctors came in to check her for the surgery the next day and they could find nothing wrong. So they sent her home. I said, you don't say. I never said a word. I want you to have that same experience. Whenever somebody comes in front of you, remember the words, go into the temples and heal the sick. Jesus commanding his disciples, the 12 plus the 70 plus all the people in the Essene community. I'm not commanding you, I'm suggesting. Be a sneaky healer this week. See what happens. You can do the same when an argument is stilling or people are starting to get boisterous. You can, in your mind, think a pink cloud and say, calm, 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 calm. You see that energy going out from your hands to the people. See what happens. Well, we've been going here for a couple of hours now, and so I will say it's time for the social. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. And also for being here for us today on this special Thanksgiving Day. And also, I'll say thank you to Brother Jack for a very timely and very meaningful sermon today. The newsletter didn't get out this last week. It went someplace. It didn't go every place because I've had nothing but internet problems. And I've been personally very busy in a nice way. And so the newsletter will continue. And with that, I want to thank Patty for helping me with the newsletter and for the clergy for such a wonderful service today. And next week, drum roll, Deacon Dave will be presenting the sermon. Can you give us the topic for next week, Deacon Dave?
Yeah, I'll be talking about the importance of the one God and how it came about from the multiple gods.
Okay. And with that, just checking the radio show. I should also tell you that behind the scenes, we have this diamond in the rough. Brother Paul Hughes, who does amazing production of the radio shows on Friday, on Sundays, and also with our new Douglas James Cottrell show, which is videos, interviews with top speakers. And Brother Jack assists with the Zoom equipment. He's the engineer, and Paul is the producer. This is really high quality material that we're producing. My website has been updated if you want to check that out, and you can see these places for the podcast Wake Up through to the Douglas James Cottrell Show plus the radio show. So it's easy to get around on the website, part and parcel why we've been busy this week, irrespective of the internet problems. So with that, Paul's always in the background. You know, he's always pushing buttons. Sometimes Blog Talk agrees with them. Sometimes they don't, but we're persevering. So special thank you to Paul for all the very hard work he does. And with that, my friends, I will say I'll leave the meeting. I'll retire and for the evening. And Thanksgiving is coming up. We'll have a special Thanksgiving service. Reverend Douglas and I will put that service on jointly. So next week, Deacon Dave, for his third and final test to be the minister he wants to become, he'll get promoted. Provided, of course, you agree that he did a pretty good job next week. We'll have a vote, okay? No, we won't. Dave's an amazing fellow, and he's got a heart of gold, and his wife Carla and their mommy, I got to tell you, reminiscing in my mind today how many times they were there just taking this gigantic building, two floors, and making it into a spick and span, beautiful place, a place of worship. Our friend Robert Russell and Janet were at the center many times and also participated in some of the things. I should mention that as well. So with that, I'll say God bless you one and all. I'm really feeling calm. I'm feeling peaceful. I'm feeling optimistic about our community and where we're going from here. With that, I'll say thank you very much once again. God bless you. May peace be with you all. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for joining the Many Mansions Sunday Interfaith Service with Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the Many Mansions clergy. Join us here every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And you can also join this service on Zoom by going to internationalschooloftheprophets.com. We also present a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio every Friday night on this Global Village channel at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.